This is your play button. Thank you for pressing me. However, if you are under the age of 18, are not terribly broad-minded, or have a boss at work who likes you less than a tax audit, then I would encourage you to press my cousin, the stop button. Otherwise, welcome to Ypres Choice. Welcome to Ypres Choice, the only anime podcast on the internet that gives you 3 types of vitamins and 15 different types of fan service.
Suspicious auditory stimulus detected.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. You're very welcome. For those of you who are just joining us on this show, my name is Ypres. I'm an anime fan who lives in the Western Hemisphere, and if you're very clever, you'll have figured out where I live by now. Or you could just listen to the previous shows and figure it out for yourself. Anyways, every week I talk about anime, manga, I read off some of the news, I talk about some stuff that I've watched over the last couple of weeks, and I review titles specifically that I think some fans might like. Then again, you might disagree with my opinion, but hey, you know, that's what opinions are for. If you need to get in contact with me, I have the contact information coming up at the end of the show, and I probably will play it about halfway through the show as well. Anyways, we're going to go straight into the news, and I'm going to do, again, a mixture, just like last week, a mixture of American and UK news.
News.
Okie dokie. Running up to the first article from the pages of the Anime News Network. God bless their souls. Anime Network reaches 40 million homes. The ADV's Anime Network recently crossed the 40 million household distribution mark. The service is available on demand and as a linear 24/7 cable channel. Oh, and there's an update. Please note, 40 million is the total household reach, not the number of individual subscribers to the network. Ah, see what you miss if you're not paying attention in class. I would love to get the Anime Network where I am. No, I'm lying. I would like to get any anime where I'm from. But when your only source of anime is one channel, Rapture TV, and that promotes, I think at the moment it's doing Mezzo DSA and Full Metal Alchemist, that's it. But, you know, something better than nothing. And the other news, ECI, I think it's University of California, Irvine, there you go, are lining up guest speakers for an anime class. Eric Cauldron of Gonzo and Maki Terashima Futura of Production IG are among the speakers who will contribute to a manga and anime explosion. What, why, how, and wow. A new University of California Irvine extension course. The class will be held on Tuesdays from 7 till 10 p.m. on the 26th of September. Lucky bastards. A Full Metal Alchemist movie clip has been posted onto MySpace. Funimation have posted an exclusive 2-minute, 18-second clip from the Full Metal Alchemist movie as an exclusive on the site's MySpace page here. Additionally, 5 new clips will be posted on the film's main site, along with an extended interview with the film's voice cast over the next 2 weeks. That was from the 29th of August. Just to let you guys know, I did visit the MySpace site, but the problem is that I haven't collected the rest of the Full Metal Alchemist DVDs. I'm only on Volume 7 at the moment, and I really want to watch the TV series before I go anywhere near it, because I don't want it to be spoiled. I know there's a whole bunch of people out there who've told me that you should not watch the film, it's rubbish, and there are other people who say, oh yeah, the film is brilliant, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll watch the series, I'll watch the movie, I'll let you know. I'm going to go straight over to the UK news, and following on Film 4's Hayao Miyazaki season in August, I think I mentioned it in one of the previous shows, lately there's been a few new anime broadcasts announced on UK TV in September. The Cat Returns will be broadcast on Film 4 on the 3rd of September at 3 p.m. or the 7th of September, subtitled. Princess Mononoke will be on Film 4 on Friday, the 8th of September. And Jonathan Ross's new season of Japanorama will begin on BBC 3 on Thursday the 7th at 11 p.m. In the first series, Jonathan Ross interviewed an array of Japan's famous anime and movie directors, including Hayao Miyazaki, Mamoru Oshii, and Ryuhei Kitamura. And finally, then there are no concrete dates just yet. The CITV channel, that's Children's International Television Channel, is expected to air a Dragon Ball Z movie at some point in early September. Woohoo, Dragon Ball Z. Look, folks, I'm going to make no bones about it. I don't like Dragon Ball Z. I never have. But, you know, if you like it, then you like it. In other news, according to Animation, and that's animetion.co.uk, the latest issue of Sci-Fi UK magazine Dreamwatch comes with a free anime and manga supplement going by the name of Manga Max. Compared with Neo magazine, Manga Max is expected to be aimed at the more experienced anime fan and features, for example, an imported DVD section. In the past, that's the mid to late 90s, Manga Max was a fully fledged UK anime magazine run by the enthusiastic duo of Jonathan Clements and Helen McCarthy. I actually have one of the very last issues of Manga Max in my wardrobe, and it talks about various things. One of the cool parts is that there's an internal debate going on in one article about this new movie version of Evangelion and how it conflicts with the series. Vintage. For those of you who don't know, Jonathan Clements and Helen McCarthy are the authors of the Anime Encyclopedia, which, along with a few other select books that I've got up on my shelf, is just, it's an absolute must for any anime fan. If you ever needed any information about anything about anime, find it. There are two editions out now. There's one from, I think, 2000, and that covered from, like, 19, Frozen to Death, to 2000, and a new second edition, which covers up to 2006. Jonathan Clements and Helen McCarthy write a pretty good encyclopedia. It's, you know, chronological, and it's also done by production studio, and almost every single key person involved, from the Japanese seiyu to to the production staff, directors and stuff like that, are covered and cross-referenced. The article finishes up and says whether this new version of Manga Max becomes a regular supplement or a magazine in and of itself remains to be seen. Now, finally, one final piece of news, and this really piqued my interest. On the 23rd of August, Anime News Network, and this is cross-referenced on animeuknews.net. On the 23rd of August, the Anime News Network posted up a statement from Bandai, and it basically is tantamount to a warning. This is more than a cease and desist letter. This is an absolute, unmitigated call to war by Bandai. Okay, I'll read directly from the source. In a press statement issued recently to several major US anime websites, North American DVD distributor Bandai has sent out a stark warning to those planning to produce or distribute fan subs of Ghost in the Shell Solid State Society, which is a film based on Standalone Complex and Standalone Complex second gig TV series of Ghost in the Shell. Quote, "Fan subs, even those not sold for profit, are harmful to our properties and industry overall, and we'll be watching closely to make sure our rights regarding SSS are not infringed," end quote, said Ken Iadomi, president of Bandai Entertainment Incorporated. Quote, "We are prepared to take legal action against fan subbers and illegal download and other distribution sites if this notice is ignored," end quote, he added. Having already been licensed for US media by Bandai and Manga Entertainment, they are obviously loath to see their potentially lucrative new release in Solid State Society losing fan participation surrounding the title by hitting the internet fan sub circuit months before the official Western DVD release. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't been around the fan sub area for that long. I only recently, like I said in previous shows, got back into manga in a big way and anime in a big way. And while I do spend a criminal amount of money on legitimate anime, I do keep an eye on the fan sub section of anime, and this is nothing short of a shot across the bow. So those of you who are fan subbers out there who listen to the show, and I really hope there are some of you who listen to the show. I'd love to hear what your opinion is on the whole thing. Don't say you weren't warned. Okay, we're going to run some promos. I think I will run a promo from Otaku Generation. And finally, I got a promo for Jeepnified from Mishi. And much props and mucho gracias for the promo from Mishi. Okay, after these promos, back after this with the first of my reviews. Manga. I think I will review Remote by Tokyo Pop.
Hi, this is Kyle. This is Homestyle Wano, and you're listening to a podcast.
OtakuGeneration.net, letting you see how crazy we really are. Catch us every Wednesday for news, reviews, and stuff you can use for the otaku in you.
This is Mishi from Jeepify.Podomatic.com.
And we're back after those promos. Mishi's crazy. It's official. It's certifiable. It's stamped on somebody's hand. She's crazy. But she's cool. And the less said about Otaku Generation, the less that I can be hauled over the coals and indicted for. Anyways, the review this week for the manga section is from Tokyo Pop, and it's a story called Remote. And I recently picked up the first volume of the book, and it's by, hang on, I gotta get this guy's name right, Seimaru Amagi, and the art is by Tetsuya Koshiba. And basically it's the story of traffic officer Kurumi Ayaki, and she's on the verge of retiring from the Tokyo police when a series of grisly murders forces her to take a job. Basically, it's simple a case of it's money, it's a job. She's got to pay for her upcoming wedding to her boyfriend, so she has to go back on her retirement plans and go back to work for the police. But she has a babysitting job, as she's described, and basically she only has to work for Inspector Himuru. Sorry, apologies. Who works for the Unsolved Crimes Division. Basically, it's called the Crypt. And nobody lasts very long working in the Crypt. But recently, a series of grisly murders, as I've said, have sprung up around Tokyo, all involving some sort of clown who dresses in the traditional gear and is always seen nearby or in the surrounding area. Basically, Himuru cannot leave the annex where he works for the police department, and we only are told bits and pieces of why he can't work outside of the annex. But the basic story is Ayaki is going to be his eyes and ears. She'll talk to him via phone about what she's seeing at the scene, and he will guide her and advise her as to what to do next. When I first read the back of the manga, I was instantly struck by how similar the situation is to The Bone Collector, the film with Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington, in which Denzel Washington has to track down a serial killer with Angelina Jolie's help. Unfortunately, Denzel Washington is paralyzed and therefore can only help her from the end of his bed, so to speak, with a headset on while she describes what she's seeing on the scene of the crime. So with that, I grabbed the first volume. I like it. It's almost a mishmash of horror and comedy. Most of the comedy springs from Ayaki, most of the horror springs from the murders and innuendo surrounding the clown. Koshiba's artwork it verges from entirely cute to entirely serious and deadly. It's a nice mix. There is segments of fan service, like one scene where Ayaki is checking out the body of a recently deceased guy. she has to lean over to check, see his pulse or check his breathing, see if he's, you know, a stiff. And basically you'd see a shot of her dress being blown in the wind, and at first you think, hang on, that's fan service, and then you realize, hang on, if this was the real world and she leaned over to check if the guy was breathing or not, her dress would be blowing up like that. So in that respect, it's fan service, and it's not fan service. I like it. Amagi, the author, has done similar work in Kindaichi Case Files, the manga, which is another detective story. That's been licensed by Tokyo Pop. And another one called Tantei Gukin Q, another manga, and yet again, another detective story. Unfortunately, that's not been licensed yet. Both Kindaichi and Tantei Gukin Q have been recreated as TV's series, but unfortunately Remote hasn't had that treatment yet. I would be interested to see where Remote goes, because it doesn't seem to be the standard peppy police drama, nor does it seem to be an entirely psychological thriller type. All in all, I liked it. As far as I can tell, there's about 8 or 9 volumes out. Tokyo Pop are on course to finish off the series. Either way, I'm going to start collecting this, and I will see how it ends. And I'll go straight into another promo, and this one will be an unknown one. I'm going to track down somebody else's promo. I don't know whose it'll be, but it won't be my regular stock of stuff. And then I'll go into the anime review of Stelvia of the Universe. Back after this.
Do you like anime, ninjas, wizards, video games, or just like to listen to people random? Listen to randomness, where that's basically all I do.
I'm gonna put this out there so people know. I'm a girl. Like, yeah. So, let's just... I don't know, like... Because my voice sounds weird in this, and I don't think it, like, sounds like a guy, but, like, it sounds kind of funky. And, yeah, I have to get ready soon because my mom's gonna be back. Then she's gonna be like, why the hell aren't you dressed? Well, she's not gonna say that, but she's gonna be, like, all angry. Like, yeah. So, I have to go up soon, but I'm not going to yet. So, I don't know. This podcast was kind of a lot of rambling, but... It's called Randomness, so I'm going to jump from topics, but there's going to be something I'm going to talk about, because I always like to talk about things. And actually, you can visit us at chimp.podomatic.com.
One final piece of news that I've neglected to place into the main feature, but I've pasted this in, is that Susan Fleischette, Hollywood actress and voice of Zeniba from Hayao Miyazaki's Spirited Away, is currently battling lung cancer. This is from the 10th of August. According to the source from WENN, and I've taken this directly from the IMDb, the 69-year-old star is undergoing chemotherapy at Los Angeles Cedars Sinai Medical Center. But according to the National Enquirer, the actress's prognosis is good because the cancer was spotted early, and a source tells the weekly publication, quote, doctors hope with chemo and surgery down the road, Susan will make a complete recovery. So I liked her performance in the English dub of Spirited Away, so we wish her well and hope that she makes a speedy recovery. Hi guys, and you're very welcome back. I've got up on the review block for the anime section Stelvia from Genion Entertainment. Its Japanese title is Uchu no Stelvia, and the full title is Stelvia of the Universe. Okay, what's Stelvia about? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll read off the plot summary from the ANN, and then I'll go into detail about why this is probably one of my favourite titles of the last year or so in anime. The year is 2356, 189 years after a distant supernova caused a global catastrophe that wiped out 99% of the world population. I hate it when that happens. To keep track of all space activities, mankind has built colossal space stations called foundations all over the solar system. After passing the Space Academy entrance exam, Shima Katase embarks on to the Earth-based foundation Stelvia to fulfill her dream of seeing the galaxy and to prevent another interstellar catastrophe. Okay. Bigger story on this one. Stelvia's main character is Shima Katase. Don't ever, ever think that it isn't. Something like between 5 and 10 active cast members plus another rotating 5 more. It's a pretty hectic cast list, but yeah, I like this show a hell of a lot. I first picked this up when I looked at a review of Zabek Studio in Newtype. Oh god, it must be 2 years ago now. For those of you who don't know, Zabek is an outcropping of Production IG, and Zabek have done work like DN Angel, Fafnir, and Stelvia, and Elemental Gilead as well. I like this from just simply the artwork. It was peppy, and you know, it's that feel-good factor that you get with some anime that some fans seem to shun, just like the vampires shun sunlight. Now, don't be deceived. This is a peppy, steppy, happy kind of sci-fi show. But never once did I ever think that what was happening on the screen was not really happening. Now, it does contravene regular physics in the fact that you see and hear explosions in space, and in actuality, you would never hear explosions in space, even if you were inside of a ship, listening and witnessing a nearby explosion. There's no sound in a vacuum, so it can't be transmitted. But aside from that, every time something happened in the series that required physics of some sort, now, okay, the conceit being the sound, you couldn't hear it in real life, but you can in this. But when, say, someone needs to get from Earth to, I don't know, Saturn, takes 3 or 4 months. Now, in reality, that actually takes 3 or 4 months. So, Shima Katase. Well, I do read off the plot summary that she wants to go in to see the galaxy. Her main reason to go out into space is she wants to see space as it should be seen, because after the catastrophe 189 years previous, space debris from the supernova means that the vision of the world is kind of tinted green, so everything has like a green cloud over it, so there's no way to see space, proper space, from Earth. So Shima goes into space to see space as it should be seen, despite the fact that, well, there's green space. Ah, you know what? You have to watch the series to understand. She also has a long-standing feud throughout the series with her mother. Oh, hold on. Just give me 1 second and I will find her proper name, because she does have a nickname in the series. Hold on. And I'm back and I found the name, and it's Chiaki Katase. But she calls her, or Shima calls her mother, Chi-chan. And they have a bit of an argument as she leaves for Stelvia on her first day after the entrance exam is over, and they have an argument that we're told bits and pieces, but we won't actually find out till about halfway through. This show is about 26 episodes long, so stuff that started in the first and second episodes doesn't see fruition until either halfway through the show or towards the end of the show. So it's the sort of show you have to invest in if you want to get anything out of it. Now, along the way, she's joined by her friend Arisa Glennorth, who she meets on the shuttle from Earth to Stelvia. And I've always liked Arisa from the get-go. Now, either when she's played by Yuki Matsuka, or in the English dub, Lucy Hudson, it doesn't matter. Arisa is a well of good-naturedness, and she's always got a smile on her face, and even when the worst thing can possibly happen, she always has something that will rally the troops. Shima, she's unsure of herself in the academy, because she doesn't know what she's doing, she doesn't know where she wants to be in the academy, she doesn't even know if she wants to stay at the academy, and there is some sort of conjecture as to where she should go. But I won't spoil it for you, but she does find her place and what she should be doing, and when she does, she's amazing. Also amazing in the class is a guy called Kota Otoyama. Now, Kota Otoyama, at the beginning of the series, seems like a guy who seems to know what he's doing, seems to have it together. You won't believe how important Kota will become to the story as the show progresses. Also, she's backed up, she's backed up by her friends Yayoi Fujisawa, who has a backstory all of her own. Also, Akira Kayama. And she's cool, she's very tough, but there's something underneath the tough exterior that makes her cool. Also, she has the upperclassmen to aid her in her adventures. Now, some of these classmen I didn't like from the start, and it took me ages to like. Okay, they are called the Big Four, and they are Kent Austin, Ayaka Machida, and in the English dub she's quoted as Ren Renge. In the Japanese dub she's listed as Renge Hasu and Shoji Ritsu. They're the big four, as I said before, and they're the upperclassmen, and everyone looks up to them. Now, Kent Austin is, he's the absolute upperclassman you always wanted. He's fair, he's tolerating, but at the heart of it all, he knows how tough it is to be a freshman. Shoji is, sorry you guys, is a ninja. That's the best way I can describe him. He spends his time climbing the air ducts, hanging from over bars and brace beams, and basically just being ninja-like. But underneath it all, he's this dead cool character. Ayaka Machida. All I can say about her, and you'll have to take my word on this, and I know this is a big leap of trust here. You have to trust me when I say that that niggling feeling you get from her in the first four or five episodes, that there is more going on with her than meets the eye. It's correct. And I can't tell you what that means. You'll have to watch for yourself. One standout performance that I will say, that I personally loved, was a guy called Jinrei Shirogane. And he is one of the teachers at the academy at Stelvia. Now, at the beginning, he's this kind of serious teacher, stroke, instructor, who kind of stands off every so often and gives him advice and turns up at lectures and whatever. It's only the second half of the show do you actually see him come into his own, and he's absolutely gives one of the best standout performances of one of the adults of the show. Along the way, there is Mr. Hutter, who's one of the Academy upper echelon. Richard James, he's like the headmaster of the school. All of these people start off as kind of one-dimensional, and it takes literally 20 episodes to get three dimensions. Now, I know a lot of you have, I won't say you need immediate payout or instant gratification for the show, but it does require a very long string of patience. But if you do hold on to it, it does pay off dividends. The artwork, as I said, was done by Zabek. Also, a standout notary, and I make special point, is Studio Galapagos also did the 3D animation work, because Stelvia, the spaceships that they use, the individual, both student ships and the actual regular ships, they are Katie's and Aura Avis machines. Katie's being the like regular ones, and Aura Avis are the more advanced upperclassmen and adult instructors' craft. That, those two, and the Stelvia itself, and it, basically any spaceship you see in the series are all CG. Everything else is cell drawn, so it's a very good mixture of it. Yeah, I think the animation, excuse me folks, I think the animation in this show is standout. It's nice, it's crisp, it's clean, it does its job, and it does it very well. The opening and closing pieces for the show are done by Angela or Angela. It doesn't matter which version you pick. All in all, I like this show. The English dub is handled by, I think, Bang Zoom Entertainment did the English ADR, and Wendy Lee is the main director. I like Wendy Lee. I like her as both an actress and as a writer. However, I have a serious hard time with Bang Zoom Entertainment's dubs. They veer between fully functional to not firing on all thrusters, Mr. Spock. It's really hit and miss with Bang Zoom. I do like their Love Hina dub. I don't like some of their other stuff that I've seen them in. Namely, I think it's something like, oh, what's it called? Hold on a second, folks. Hold on. I'm just going to check. I actually have the box right next to me. Hold on. Yeah, here it is here. It's a IGPX Immortal Grand Prix. For those of you who don't know what the title means, I got sent IGPX as a gift, and thank God the person who sent it to me had the good grace and the foresight to send me the unedited version, because if I'd have been sent the Toonami dub, I'd probably gone crazy. But I wouldn't have said that to somebody. It's a gift, and you don't look a gift in the mouth or insult the person who sends you the gift. I didn't like Bang Zoom's take on that. They drafted in a whole lot of Hollywood talent and then subsequently proceeded to squander said talent. I've only seen like 4 episodes off of one volume, but you know, they have Mark Hamill, they have Michelle Rodriguez, they have Lance Henriksen, they have Haley Joel Osment, and somehow they managed to make them all sound either bored, disinteresting, or just plain stupid. I don't know how you can do that with Hollywood talent. I can't understand it. It either says something about the actor or it says something about the dub studio. Either way, there are people who can't stand Bang Zoom for all of the reasons that I've mentioned, and then again, there are people who love Bang Zoom. It's basically how willing you are to listen to an English dub that proceeds to build your opinion on Bang Zoom. Okay, folks, after that very long and very dry, my mouth is extremely dry after that talk on Stelvia, I will do one more piece on promo, and it'll probably be something like Ninja Consultant and or R5 Central. Hi, Mike. Hi, Noah. Hi, Aaron.
Thursday, May 4th, 2006. Waiting in the pre-registration line.
So like, you just cut through line just to laugh?
Yes, pretty much.
So you just lost your spot?
No.
Curse you!
The waiting is almost over. R5 Central, the 3-part Anime Central 2006 audio coverage. Coming soon.
This is gonna be a ride.
Hi, this is Aaron and Noah, and we're a couple living in New York City. We run the Ninja Consultant podcast. Sometimes we talk about ninjas, but mostly our show is about anime.
We don't do anime news because we don't know any.
I know what the news is because I've heard it on every anime podcast this week.
We have over 800 years of combined otaku experience, and I guess sometimes we talk about it.
You can train to be an otaku or just sound like one.
Choose from any of the following areas of expertise.
Conventions.
Fan culture.
AMVs.
Fan subs.
Fan parodies.
Fan art.
Manga.
Cosplay.
Ninja studies.
Refrigerator repair.
Or get your GED.
And much, much more.
Can you draw this pirate? Go to www.ninjaconsultant.com and discover the wonderful world of anime art.
That's www.ninjaconsultant.com. Or search for us in the iTunes... Wait, we're a couple?
Yeah, we're a couple.
I mean, I knew that.
Retro choice. And for my retro choice this week is a title that I did own on VHS, and I subsequently will own on DVD in the next forthcoming few weeks, if manga ever get around to releasing it. Because at this stage I don't actually remember if they've released it or they're about to release it. The show is, or the movie is, Street Fighter 2 the movie. Okay. Should I explain Street Fighter 2? No. If you don't know what Street Fighter 2 is, A, you have no interest in pop culture. B, you have no interest in Japanese fighting action games. C, you've never visited an arcade before in your life. D, you have no interest in anime. I've lost track, but the final point would be you've been living under a rock. Street Fighter 2 was the arcade platform in the late 90s, depending on who you ask and who you're talking to in which particular zone of the world. Street Fighter 2 is basically 12 or 13 characters with their own backstories beating 7 bells out of each other for the honor of beating M. Bison. In some quarters he's quoted and credited as Mr. Bison. I don't know why. The film itself, the actual animated movie. Now please, I want to point out something to you guys, that I'm talking about Street Fighter 2 the movie, the anime. Not Street Fighter 2 the movie, the live action. Which, as far as I can tell, if Roy Juliet hadn't died after the film was done, it would have finished off his career. And it should have finished off Jean-Claude and Van Damme's career, but for some strange reason, he survived and has done one or two good films since then. Anyways, the basics plotline is, and I'm reading from the summary because if I tried to make any sort of scientific reasoning to this show, oh god, I'd just kill myself. Okay. Shadow Law, an underground organization bent on world domination through drug smuggling, illegal weapons distribution, and terrorism. Led by the evil M. Bison, Vega in the original Japanese version. Shadow Law hopes to increase their power by recruiting the world's greatest street fighters. Their main target, Ryu, a master of Shotokan Karate, who roams all over the world to test his skills against other fighters. As a means of luring the elusive Ryu, Bison abducts his best friend, former martial arts champion Ken Masters, and uses him as bait. Interpol agent Chung Li and U.S. Air Force pilot Guile team up to get to Ryu before Bison does and continue his reign of terror. Okay, that has got to be the worst reading I've ever done of anything. Not because I was any good at it or not good at it. It was just... oh, God, it's so bad. Look, the only thing you need to know about this show is it has absolutely amazing battle scenes. It has kick-ass animation. And, quite frankly, if you choose the Jean-Claude Van Damme version over this, there is something mentally, seriously wrong with you. Up until very recently, for some strange reason. Now, I haven't seen the actual edit piece myself, but no matter what version of the show you got, you were always told that there was one piece of Chun Li's shower scene halfway through the film that was edited out. I don't know why, I can't figure it out, but they are releasing this movie, Manga Entertainment, are completely uncut. Every piece has been restored, and for the very first time in an English DVD, the Japanese dub has been reinstated. Because up until this point, you were only able to acquire the English dub, and while that was okay and that was fine, but if for true enthusiasts, you couldn't get your hands on the Japanese dub unless you got the Japanese DVD. And I don't even know if that was ever produced on DVD. It probably has and went out of print like 2 days after it was first released, but that's how Japanese printers work. The only other thing I wanted to say is a guy called Michael Reynolds, and he plays Ryu in the English dub of manga's version of Street Fighter 2. Now, for those of you who don't know who Michael Reynolds is, he has done stuff like Biohunter OAV, Kasan Robot Hunter, he was in Barefoot Gen, he was Shenron in Dragon Ball Z Movie 3 Mystical Adventure, the Harmony Gold dub. Haha. He was also in Digimon as Ginai, you know, the old crotchety guy. Basically, any manga dub where you hear a really old, kind of over 65, deep gruff voice, that's Michael Reynolds. It doesn't matter if he's credited as Hank Smith or Ray Michaels, it's Michael Reynolds. And if it's in a Manga Entertainment dub, that's him. He also has done stuff like Cowboy Bebop, he was Van, he was in the anime's dub of Akira as Mr. Nezu, he was in Rurouni Kenshin as Takuma Hashizume. I don't know. This is a classic anime, along with stuff like Ghost in the Shell, basically showcased what anime was capable of before the malaise set in. If you find it, go and pick it up. It's probably anywhere between $15 and $30, depending on where you buy it from. And in, if this is a UK listener, you'll probably pick it up from Manga Entertainment for about £16 up to, I don't know, about £26 or £27. It doesn't matter what you have to pay for it. If you can find it, get it. It's a good movie. It's like a great waste of an hour and a half. And just finally, which would you rather have on your shelf? The DVD of Street Fighter 2 the movie live action, or Street Fighter 2 the movie the anime? That's about it. Okay, folks. That's the wrap up. That's it. That's me finished for the day. I'm tired. I'm knackered. I've been bouncing from sleep pattern to sleep pattern. I'm tired. It's just... no. It's not been a good week for sleep for me. Anyways, folks, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start editing this out and make myself sound cool. I really should have about 20 grand worth of editing equipment if I wanted that to happen. But unfortunately, I have mostly free gear, so I'm going to have to sound at least coherent. I should be able to pull that off. The contact information is coming up. I will be re-editing the contact information and the warning bumper at the beginning of the show for next week's show, because I'm not entirely happy with both of them. No matter how many re-edits of it I did, it just doesn't come off very well. Other than that, folks, I don't know. I wish you a happy one, wherever you are, and take it easy. Bye-bye.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
If you need to contact me, you can contact me at eberschoice@gmail.com. I'm on Podomatic at eberschoice@podomatic.com. You can leave a voicemail for me at 206-339-3337 or 206-339-EEP. And you can also catch me at the website at eberschoice.podomatic.com.
Access denied.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of gum.